Kuzu Zangpula, I'm Sonam Yangjin. Welcome to the RIX podcast. In this episode, we are joined by Mr. Tashi Wangdi, founder of Impact Hub Thimphu, an incubation center that supports entrepreneurs by providing co-working spaces, coaching, mentorship, and hosting impactful community events. We will explore his entrepreneurial journey and the realities of founding and running a business in Bhutan. We hope this conversation with Tashi, who exemplifies thinking big, starting small, and continuing to persevere despite the odds, will inspire young entrepreneurs to pursue meaningful ventures and stay resilient and purpose-driven to turn their visions into impactful realities. Tashi, welcome to the RIX podcast. I'm happy that we are finally able to have this conversation about your dreams, your hopes, and some of the challenges that you continue to face in your journey as an entrepreneur. Thank you very much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you, Sonam, and thank you, RIX, for having me as a part of your RIX podcast. It's always a pleasure and a privilege to be part of RIX. So thank you so much for having me.
I would also like to share with our listeners that I happen to know Tashi personally. In fact, we're good friends. Tashi and I both had the opportunity to attend the foundational leadership program at RIX in different batches. So we are both the alumni of the institute, and that is how we connected and became friends. I would also like to acknowledge that Tashi has been an active alumnus and has been very supportive in every little way possible. So thank you for that as well, Tashi. Before we dive in, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but whenever we hang out together, you have a lot of experience to share, and more often than not, most of it is in the form of frustrations and grievances. So I really hope that you will be as candid on the record as well, Tashi.
Well, I'll try my best to, you know, be as candid as possible and share all my thoughts.
Thank you, Tashi. So tell us, what really inspired you to become an entrepreneur, and what is the story behind your venture? If I may say, your baby, Impact Hub Thimphu.
To be honest, I actually don't really remember what inspired me to, you know, kickstart this business. But as I was reflecting on, I realized that you know, I always wanted to start a software company back in 2013, right after my graduation. But I couldn't really do it because I didn't really have a knowledge on how to go about, and I didn't really had someone to guide me on, you know, how to start a business. So maybe that could be one reason. And when I was working in Singapore, that is where I learned about the concept of co-working space. And then I did some DEX research and then found out that co-working space can be combined with an incubation along with some of the mentoring services. So, so I thought maybe this is something that is missing in our country, and I can go back home and start off and can be a viable business. And then again, while doing the DEX research, I found out that Ministry of Labor, now MOIS, every year trained more than 365 students on basic and advanced entrepreneurship. So post-training, there wasn't much happening for those training. Then I thought maybe iHub could come in as a gap, you know, come in to fill up those gap by providing our incubation service. So now they are already trained. They have the skills. They have the knowledge. Now, how do they convert that knowledge into business was a challenge for them. So we thought this is something that is missing. And we thought as an iHub, we could, you know, help them out. So that's how we initially started off with this idea. In 2017, 2nd June, in Bhutan, we considered this one as a very auspicious day as well. So from little that I know, 2nd June was a day in 90s where first time the television and after that the internet was launched. So we wanted to coincide with that particular day and create that day as an innovation day. So we started, you know, our iHub in 2017. And then now, recently we have been part of a global network called Impact Hub, and we have rebranded ourselves as Impact Hub Thimphu. So this global network is in 65 countries, and they have 112 Impact Hub like us. So their mandate is also to promote social entrepreneurs and support organizations that are promoting entrepreneurship, and also to help us build the entrepreneur ecosystem. We have been in this industry for last 7 years. We have been training, providing mentorship, and also we are working closely with other entrepreneur support organizations to create awareness in entrepreneurship, and also to educate our young people that entrepreneurship can also be a viable career option if they opt for.
Thank you, Tashi. Like I was mentioning, your journey is indeed inspiring, because you decided to come home and create opportunity, not just for yourself, but for others as well. And I know that you personally have a lot of frustrations and grievances because of the challenges you face. So what are some of the challenges that you continue to face in your journey as an entrepreneur in Bhutan?
Okay, like I always love to share my grievances, challenges with you all. I think as an entrepreneur, it's not just me. It's same with everyone globally, and no different here in Bhutan. Maybe I will share my challenges. You know, there were a few challenges that I encountered in early days was the cultural mindset, where my mother and my friend, they thought 9-to-5 job was a good thing, because I was working in Singapore, and I was earning good. And suddenly when I decided to start this business, they said, I'm going crazy, you know. This is not something I should be opting for. When you have a good, well-paying job, why start this business? So this cultural mindset was there. And then if we look from their perspective, it is valid point, because I think they don't really wanted me to suffer. So maybe they were correct. And then the other challenge was in terms of access to finance. So I just had Nultrum 13,000 in my hand that time. And then, you know, when you start off a business, you don't really have a business plan written. And then you don't really have, you know, a means on how you will make money. But you have this idea and you have this passion. So access to finance was quite a challenge. So back then, the Ministry of Labor, now MOIS, we approached them. And then through the Department of Employment and Entrepreneurship, they gave us Nultrum 3,750 for a year to train 10 entrepreneurs. And as an outcome, I was supposed to deliver 10 successful business. So I had to do something to earn and to kickstart my business. So I said, okay, I was being so ambitious that time without realizing that whether I would be able to deliver those 10 successful startups or not. So with that little amount, we started off. And then as we progressed, there was Lodin Foundation who came in to picture, and then they supported us with some funding, collateral and interest-free loan, along with some of the great mentorship through Lodin Foundation. So, and then the one challenge that I still face is trying to, you know, convince our other entrepreneur support organization that incubation service and training institute are two different components. We are not a training institute. We are an incubation service provider. And then when there are such program coming up, even training institute, they participate in such incubation program. And then we, you know, in a way, we are not really able to compete with them. And then we fail to deliver a proper incubation program to the aspiring startups. So these are some of the challenges that we still face.
Thank you, Tashi. Some of the challenges that you mentioned were families not being supportive when it comes mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. venturing into private sector, given the bias mm-hmm. they have towards jobs in civil service. And you mentioned access to finance.
Mm-hmm.
And it is interesting that you mentioned this, because I recently heard from someone who's working in one of the financial sector and financial institutions, mentioned that it is not that the government has no money to spare for the for the private sector. However, one thing he said was that there was not enough promising or concrete proposals for them to disperse the low interest ESP loans. He also shared an incident whereby someone just barged into his office, saying that he is there to get avail Lynchian's loan. So I'm not trying to be defensive, but that is the situation. That is the kind of mindset we people have when it comes to finance. And you also mentioned that there's a lack of awareness and understanding about Incubation and Training Institute. And if you look at the 13th five-year plan, Tashi, there's a lot of importance given to the private sector, in the sense that there are a lot of strategies outline to make private sector one of the drivers of our economy. And it sounds and looks promising, but I personally feel that I have grown up, literally grown up, hearing that private sector is the engine of growth, which is far from reality today. If anything, the plight of the private sectors, especially after the pandemic, seem to regress. So what do you think of the current plan when it comes to, their promise of doing this and that for the private sector and entrepreneurs? What do you think are some of the issues in implementation of the plan?
Okay. Before I answer you directly, maybe I would like to read out what Solzinger recently said in the Riksdag. You know, one of the biggest support a government could provide to develop an entrepreneurship is to get out of the way. So if you all haven't watched the video, I think it's there in the YouTube. You can have a look at there. Okay, I haven't really read through the 13 five-year plan in depth, but having attended some of the meetings and having talked to some of my friends, I feel some of the work and some of the plans are very commendable that the government is trying to focus on. So, like especially making finance more affordable. And they want to, at the same time, they also want to diversify products. And then, they are also trying to, focus on reskilling. So these are some great initiatives. But I believe there is an opportunity, to focus more on established business. If you really want to, revive the economy, rather than focusing on aspiring entrepreneurs, maybe if you could focus on established business, because this business are already making money and they are looking for alternative training. So maybe since GMC is coming up, and if we are to pitch tomorrow in front of an investor, are we ready to do that? So we need training where we can do our company valuation. Right now I don't know what is the worth of my own company, and then there needs to be an education on how do we transition from sole proprietorship to private limited company. Because I always tell my friend that we start as a single sole proprietorship and we might die as a sole proprietorship because we don't really know what is our exit strategy. So maybe in this 13 five-year plan, apart from providing finance, if they could also focus on established business by reskilling them and upskilling them. So that is one thing. And then I feel in 13 five-year plan, if they could revive a program like Jabjo, the concept of angel investor could be revived along with the lesson they have learned from the previous years. I feel that government could start a government-backed venture capital where they can, protect the investor as well as protect the interest of our young entrepreneurs. And then I feel this is an area where, we can create an alternative financing rather than just banking on this traditional way of financing. Because we know that traditional way of financing is not working at the moment. So we need an alternative source of financing.
I agree that the government has for now prioritized building foundational support for the entrepreneurs and not really for the established businesses. And like you mentioned, the Royal Monetary Authority has actually explored the concept of angel investment through their initiative called, like you mentioned, Jabjo. But I'm not really sure how it turned out to be. Do you have any idea why the initiative couldn't take off?
No idea why they didn't continue, but we have seen, you know, some of the entrepreneurs benefiting from it, because in the idea stage, there are very few people who would like to invest or, you know, put their hard-earned money. But through program like Jabjo, there were people willing to support our entrepreneurs. So I feel if there is a if we could revive this program, there could be a huge potential where, you know, our entrepreneurs could look for alternative financing apart from the normal traditional bank.
Thank you for that, Tashi. So Tashi, I personally know that you have been working really hard to make your program something that you have been working on for a very long time, called the Founders Retreat. So tell us something about the event.
So we know that their products or services could bring an impact in a particular community and global as whole. So our retreat will be a one-of-a-kind experience where, you know, we intend to bring global founders, social entrepreneurs, and entrepreneur support organization together to really discuss some of the challenges we face to, you know, some of the challenges that we face while working on our idea. And then at the same time, we want to give a networking opportunity for our local founders to connect with the global founders and some of the social investors. So some of our local products have potential in a global market, but they are not able to sell their products globally because they don't really have this exposure to go abroad and then try their products. So through our founders retreat, we would like to, you know, give this opportunity to network and connect with some of the potential investors and potential business partners. And then at the same time, you know, we would like to offer our participant the unique culture, the stunning landscape that we have here in Bhutan. So our program will be a mixture of business along with the cultural and traditional immersive journey. So whereby when they are here in Bhutan, we want them to take one step back and take this particular moment to reflect on why they started their business. And, you know, at the same time, we would like to make sure that their business is not just after money. Their business also has a social component in it. So we want to give them a fresh and a new perspective as they leave Bhutan after attending our founders retreat. So we are adding up an additional layer on the selection criteria. So right now we have 35 people who have signed up for our program. So now I'm thinking, should we host all these 35, or should we just, you know, narrow down and make sure that, you know, we just have quality people coming to Bhutan and attending our founders retreat? So we are, you know, re-strategizing our founders retreat program at the moment.
Tashi, I think it will be helpful if you can share with our listeners when will the retreat happen, and how can the interested participants register for the event?
Okay. So our founders retreat is going to take place in 2nd June next year, and then it is going to be for 2 weeks, and you can find all the details in our website, thimpu.impacthub.net/founders-retreat. So you can find all the details over there. Sorry, soon we will be closing our registration because we wanted to make sure that this program, this founders retreat, is premium and is only for people who genuinely feel for entrepreneurship community and feel for Bhutan.
Thank you, Tashi. That sounds truly exciting. That sounds like a truly exciting initiative and much needed avenue for the founders to connect and grow. So What is your long-term vision for your baby, Impact Hub Thimphu?
Well, to be honest, you know, we have been in this market for last 7 years. I do have a intention, which I considered as in my vision statement. So, you know, we wanted to be the only business incubation center that will train and nurture some of the fundable business. Some of the entrepreneurs that we have trained, they even got funding from foundations, they even got funding from banks, and then they even got funding from angel investors. So we want to be a one-stop shop where we provide training, and through our training, we make sure that, you know, startups are fundable and they do business which has value in it. This is the vision that is guiding me. But in short term, in next 5 years, if Founders Retreat goes well, we want to establish a concept of hedge fund where, you know, any startups have good idea, we will incubate them with us and we will provide them with some seed funding to further work on their ideas. And once they are market ready, we would like to, you know, seek further funding from angel investors. And then later on, when they receive funding from angel investor, we want to help them exit into a capital market. So that is the long-term plan we have for Impact Hub.
Tashi, forgive my ignorance, but can an entrepreneur like yourself look for an angel investor on your own?
Yes, yes, we can do that. Yes.
So what's really like stopping you?
Okay. First thing, from an investor perspective, when they want to invest in a business, they need to make sure that you are cash positive. That is the global trend, you know, it's cash positive. And secondly, whether it inlines with their investment portfolio or not. But Bhutan is quite a tricky one because the concept of angel investment and investment itself is quite new. So what we are doing is maybe it feels like I'm bragging, but, you know, I started playing golf for last 1 year. So I've invested in playing golf so that I can meet with the potential investors. So now in a way that I am able to, you know, garner some trust from the people that I've met playing golf and people that I've met while working in this entrepreneur ecosystem. So now the first thing I've learned is it is the trust that really matters. It is not whether your business is making money or not. So now we are ready and we have already discussed with four potential investors and they're willing to support us. So it's just that now I need to make sure I need to work on my business plan and then go back to them and pitch the ideas. So they are ready to invest. So I feel it is the trust that you have to build.
Oh, I'm happy to know about it. And it does sound promising. So I'm happy for you, Tashi. So this brings me to our last question. What would you, do you have any advice for aspiring entrepreneurs who are either thinking of starting their business or who are, or those who are on the verge of, you know, almost giving up?
Okay. Not really an advice, but maybe something that I would like to share from my own journey. You know, if I could go back in time or speak to my younger self. So, you know, I would always suggest them to find a mentor. Having someone to guide, having someone to share your challenges, it really accelerates your growth. And at the same time, it helps you navigate all these challenges and find your clarity. So first thing is find a mentor.
So who is your mentor?
Okay, I have two kind of a mentor. First mentor is someone who really understand me as a person, me as Tashi Wandi. And then the other mentor is someone who understand me as the founder of iHub. Okay, and then the second one is, you know, when you're working on your idea, don't just love your solution. Make sure you fall in love with the problem and really try to understand your customer. Because you might have a brilliant solution, but if there is no customer willing to pay money for your solution, then that idea is of no use. So try to understand your customer and then fall in love with the problem, not with the solution. So That's one thing. And then the last suggestion would be invest in knowledge and skills. Don't stop learning. Just recently, I attended a business training after 7 years, and then I felt, you know, it's quite late, but it reminded me that it's never too late to learn new and to sharpen your skills, because I thought I knew all this through market, and I thought I'm the expert in it. But while attending those training, I learned that there are some of the processes, there are some of the skills, there are some of the concepts that I don't know about, and which can be very helpful to young businesses. So I would say invest in your skills and knowledge.
Some wonderful advice from Tashi. One being find a mentor, two, fall in love with the problem and not the solution. And finally, invest in knowledge and skills. Basically become a lifelong learner. So Tashi, thank you very much for all this wonderful advice. It's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much, and I wish you all the best ahead.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And yes, looking forward to working closely and attending more RICS talk, and maybe if possible, a training in RICS again. Thank you so much.
Hopefully soon, Tashi. See you.